Shalom.
Shalom. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is Rebbetzin Don, and Shabbat Shalom. And we want to welcome you to For Zion's Sake Ministries. Let's get started, Rebbetzin Don.
All right, let's do it.
Shabbat Shalom.
Let's enter his gates with thanksgiving.
And his courts
with praise. Hallelujah.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Yom Zayl Yisrael,
for Zion,
for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. For Zion's sake,
I will not keep silent.
Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. On your walls I have appointed men,
watchmen over Jerusalem.
Day and night they will never keep silent, calling Jerusalem. For Zion's sake,
I will not keep silent,
Jerusalem.
I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth.
Salvation as a torch,
like a brightness that's burning to the world.
Clear the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones, lift up a standard. Behold, salvation comes. For Zion's sake,
I will not keep silent,
Jerusalem. I will not keep silent until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. Strong ending there, like
I like it.
I like it,
Rebbetzin. we're probably one of the only Rabbi Rebbetzin teams that do the praise and worship, and the liturgy and the message.
Yeah,
but we do double duty. But you know, the Lord showed me years ago. He said, "Joe, don't feel bad about doing double duty because you're getting a double reward." It's a double honor. It's to serve on the altar is, I want you to think about this, people. Because a lot of folks grumble when they get asked to serve, and when you get asked to serve, that's an honor from the Lord. It's an honor from the Lord. You know, I don't care. You know, you're in the army and they tell you to scrub the floor with a toothbrush. You can grumble, but when you're in the synagogue and the Lord asks you to do something, whatever it is, it's an honor. And if you get to do double duty, that's double honor.
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to do the blessing of the Messiah. And I'm going to do it in Hebrew. And then Miss Dawn's going to say it in English. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Whoop! Glory. That's local for Whoop Glory. Hey, before she gets into Montauvu, I just want to say, if you're looking for a Messianic synagogue and you want to get out of the city and come down to where it's pretty, where we have mountains and lakes and we have beautiful country here and beautiful people like Miss Carolyn and Carol and handsome Isaac back there, Fair Isaac, and come on down and join us here at For Zion's Sake Ministries in Tennessee. Actually, we're on the Virginia border, but you can live in Tennessee.
The house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Oti le'olam. V'shamru B'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai et shamayim b'haaretz. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shavi, Shabbat v'yinafash, Shabbat v'yinafash, Shabbat v'yinafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of the Lord of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, And from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. I hope you're following along. I think that Miss Carol is putting the words up there for you so you can follow along. And part of our service is in Hebrew because you get to know Yeshua a little better. You know why? These are probably some of the prayers that he said when he went to worship. So I think we identify with the Messiah through his language and his traditions. And believe me, a lot of the things that we do here on Shabbat are the things that our Messiah did. If you want to walk in his footsteps, everybody talks about walking in his footsteps, right? Well, when you come to Messianic congregation, you're walking in Yeshua's footsteps. Isn't that right, Rabbi?
That's right. So, Rebbetzin Don.
Let's pray.
And sometimes Yeshua walked in the mud.
When it rained, yes. It's plenty of mud. All right, let's pray. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again.
The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war.
Peace of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads and our hearts before you, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord, for the peace of the Messiah, which is what the word shalom means. It means the peace of the Messiah, and that begins in the hearts of man, of every single person, Lord, the peace of Jerusalem in the hearts of people, that you remove the blinders from your people in Israel, Lord, and in the diaspora, the exile, and you would remove the scales from their eyes, that they would see their Messiah, that they would see the truth, and your word says, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let them meet the truth, Lord. Introduce them to the truth. Send people into their lives to share the truth. Send people, send messages on TV and radio and media and so forth and Bluetooth and whatever to share that they would hear about the truth, Lord. We just pray. And we pray, Lord, that you would open up the doors for Aliyah, Lord, that you would part the seas, Lord, for Aliyah and make a way for your people, both Messianic Jew and non-Jew, Jewish people, Lord, that you would part the sea for Aliyah, because we believe that mass Aliyah is going to be coming to Israel, and that means Exodus back to Israel. And I've taught on that. If you'd like to hear the teaching, or you can watch it on video at www.forzionsake.org, Or you can read the newsletter, The Second Exodus. I teach on the Exodus that's coming, I believe, in the next 4 years. Mass Exodus to Israel from the West. And it's already come from France. It's going to be coming from America. So, hallelujah. We just pray for that Exodus, Lord. We just pray that you would put it together, that you would orchestrate every detail. We pray, Lord, that you would bring it together for us in the name of Yeshua. And we give you the praise and the glory, Lord. We pray for the Messianic rabbis today, Lord, that they would preach prophetically with boldness and preach in truth and wisdom and not without the fear of man and fear of tithes and things like that, and that they would just preach the truth and preach what's on their spirit. Lord, they'd be spirit-led. We pray, Lord, for our leadership, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna, that you would remove it and bring us the spirit of Eliakim in our leadership, Lord. Remove the spirit of Shebna, Lord. Take it out and bring us leaders who will be fathers, who will be humble, and who will minister and feed the sheep. Lord, I thank you. My blood counts were up this week. I thank you that you are killing the cancer. I thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're killing the cancer, and my bone marrow is producing normal blood, starting to produce good blood for the first time in years on its own, Lord. I thank you. I just want to give you the praise and the glory, and I believe it's going to get better and better, get gooder and gooder, as they say down here. And we just thank you, Lord, that you heal our friend Miss Aja, who's in rehab, and protect her from COVID and anything else that's going around. We pray, Lord, that you help her get rehabbed, and we pray, Lord, for Carolyn and for her dental issues, that you would help her resolve those, and it would be much less much easier and much simpler than it could be. Lord, that nothing broken, nothing lost, Lord. We pray for a good answer, good result, and infection to be gone. Lord, we just thank you and pray for our friend Linda, who was facing possible skin cancer, and we just pray that you take that, that the result, if there's any cancer, that you remove it, and if there's if it's not cancer, we just pray that it's not cancer in the name of Yeshua, Lord. And we just thank you that you heal everybody here that needs to be healed, and we thank you for your blessings, your goodness, your mercy, your love, and just because you're you, our Savior, the lifter of our heads. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, looky there. It's the Patriot. Howdy. It's my, what's that, the Patriot? It's Wendell. Is that the clapper? Oh, it's the Donald Trump. We got the Patriot playing with Donald Trump in the front and the second row here. Praise the Lord. It's good to see Wendell and Maria. Well, welcome back, kiddos. Amen. Well, let's worship the Lord, Miss Dawn.
Well, we're on.
Welcome, folks online. Before I do, I'm sorry. For Zion's Sake Ministries. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is the lovely Rebbetzin Dawn, and she's gone back to flying, and she'll be flying those little airplanes all over the United States of America pretty soon. She's just training right now, and she leaves me all alone with two teenage boys, but that's okay, because
it's very sad.
It's okay because I have friends in high and low places.
What is that?
Isn't that a song, Friends in Low Places? That's a Garth Brooks song, Friends in Low Places. Amen. Oh, you want me to say Friends in High Places? I have friends in high places too, and low places. I have friends all over the place. I really do. But, you know, some people, I was talking with some people, they're going to move here. One lady's going to come from another country, I'll just say north of the border. She's planning to move here, and I was talking to another lady out on the West Coast who's planning to move here with her husband in a few months, and they're planning to join us and join with us. And I was talking to both of them this past week, in the last few weeks, I said, you know, wherever, to one of them, especially the lady in the West Coast, I said, just get ready, because our synagogue is not what you're used to in California. We're country. You know, we're different. We're a little smaller. We're, you know, it's a different experience, and you just have to be open to that. But we invite folks to move here. If you want to get out of the city where they're trashing, where they're writing graffiti and breaking windows and looting stores, burning down buildings and calling it peaceful protests, we invite you to come to here to Bristol, Tennessee, and come and worship with us and at Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation and for Zion's Sake Ministries. Come worship with us. Come live in peace. Cost of living is cheap here. There's no property tax. And gasoline was $1.83 a gallon this morning. Hallelujah. Well, we have state property tax, but not federal. Amen. But anyways, come and join us. Praise the Lord. Miss Dawn, you take it. Take it from there.
Hallelujah. Our next reading is from Isaiah 49:6. So you can either read off the screen or turn to it in your Bible. Let's all read together. And now the Lord says, "He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Hallelujah. And just on that little piggyback there of Rabbi, you know, just brought to my mind the picture of the synagogue in Capernaum, Kfar Naum, which is Capernaum is how most people understand it in the Bible. Kfar Naum is in Israel. The way you speak it in Israeli, and it's on the Sea of Galilee, and it was this beautiful synagogue. How many of you visited the synagogue on the Sea of Galilee? And so that's kind of what we are. We're synagogue in the middle of nowhere up in the country, and but it was a beautiful place. It's probably one of the most my favorite spots in Israel. It's the country, but it's probably the most beautiful part of the country is Galilee.
People don't realize Israel has country too. And if you come from Galilee and you go to Jerusalem, they consider you a hillbilly. That's true. And a lot of rabbis took heat. They came from Galilee and they studied with the big rabbis down in Jerusalem, and they got picked on for being hillbillies, like Rabbi Yossi the Galilean, Rabbi Joe the Galilean. And I kind of relate to him. I wonder why. Anyway, what's next, Miss Don? Amida.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept.
Restore the worship of Israel to your sanctuary, and lovingly and favorably receive their prayers and offerings. May the service of your people, Israel, always acceptable to you. Let us see your return in mercy to Zion. All deserving of all praise are you, O Lord, who restores presence
to Zion.
Please rise.
Stand.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol me'odecha, V'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, Asher nochim etzecha hayom al levavecha, V'dibarta bam, B'shivtecha b'veitecha, V'v'lechtecha v'derech, V'v'shach b'cha, V'v'kumecha, V'k'shartam, Liot al yadecha, V'hayu l'totafot b'ein einecha, וכתב תם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gate.
Amen. You know, we've got a lunch men today. Why don't we march with the Torah today? We'll have William and Wendell and Xavier march with the Torah. How's that today? So why don't you get yourselves ready? To that, that's the oldest hymn in the world, by the way, the oldest known hymn in the world. And the answer to that is Ein kamocha ba'elim Adonai ve'ein kamasecha malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'memshaltecha b'chol dor v'dor. Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch li'olam va'ed, Adonai oz li'amo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo ba'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing
like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
Your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Inne matovu manayim shevatahim gam yachad. Inne matovu manayim.
Shabbato, Shevet Achim Gam Yahad.
Hine Ma Tovu Manayim, Shevet Achim Gam Yahad. Hine Ma Tovu Manayim, Shevet Achim Gam Yahad. Hine Ma Tov, Hine Ma Tov. La 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 la.
Pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together
in unity, to dwell in unity.
Hey, la la la
la la la la la la la.
In unity, to dwell in unity. Hey, la la la
la la la la la la la
la la la la la la la la la la. For brethren to dwell together in unity,
to dwell in unity.
Hey, la 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 la.
In unity,
to dwell in unity. Hey, la 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 la.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeshua! Hallelujah!
By Heben Soharon, Yomer Moshe, Kula Adonai, Via Futsu Oivecha, Via Nusu Misanecha, Mipanecha, Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah. Ki mitzion tetze Torah, udavar Adonai, Yerushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Le'amo Yisrael, Bidushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. And let those that hate you flee from before you. For from Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Blessed
be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch et Adonai Hamavora.
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Lilam Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Rachion Vaed. Baruch et Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim. Venatan Lanu et Torato. Baruch et Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples
and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. All right.
You can be seated.
You can please, yes, be seated.
Okay, today's Torah portion is Ekev, or Akev, depends how you want to pronounce it, but it means heal. And it's from Deuteronomy chapter 7 through chapter 11, verse 25. And, you know, the heel is the lowest part of the human body. And it usually, whether you know it or not, it usually dictates the direction you're going in. sort of hard to turn a corner without your heel. But, you know, we see today we're moving into the, or studying in the last book of the Torah, and we're moving closer to the fall feasts that are coming up. So we must, with the Torah, we must never get reading or studying the Torah. The Torah never grows old, even though it's thousands of years old. And the Torah is always new and refreshing. I can't remember when I read that I don't see something or pick up something I haven't seen before. And you know, in the Torah always pertains to what's going on today. That's why God's word is so important. If you happen to watch some of the news, and I try to avoid as much as I can, but they were talking about, I forget where it was at, but they had a demonstration. And they were burning Bibles, so that's a sign that, you know, our days are grinding very close to the Yeshua becoming, because these are definitely perilous times, and the Bible's right on target with everything that's going on. You know, the burning of God's Word is trying to destroy Him, like Satan has been doing for ever since the beginning of time, as Satan has been there. You see, the... It's true. It ends with us. The mitzvahs are God's instructions that are within the Torah, and they are to be ingrained in our minds. That means study them and know them and put them in your mind. So if you don't have a Bible with you, you still know what they are from your mind. And it should become a daily part of life. Every day should begin with God's Word, and it should end with God's Word in prayer. We should be, the Word should be inseparable from our living. It should be just as much as if we breathe, should be God's Word, because that's why we breathe, because He's given us the breath. Is it eating or sleeping? It should be just regular things that we do, is reading God's Word and praying. You see, the reward of the mitzvah, which is the instruction of God, is the mitzvah itself, understanding it and reciting it and knowing what God is telling us. We all must be guardians of God's Word. We are called to be shomers of God's Word, and that means to protect God's Word. Because if we don't, like the demonstration, they'll destroy everything if they can do it. And that day's probably coming. And God promised, give us a promise, that if we would hear and obey, He would do something. He said He will love us. He will bless you. He will bless the fruit of your body. He will bless even your livestock. If you have cattle, He will bless that it will be fruitful. He will remove all illnesses from your body. And illnesses were something that Israel, that God says, that He will give to our enemies, will be our illnesses, will be upon Him. And so you see today with, as Jacob, before he was born in Rebekah's womb with his brother Esau, he grabbed the heel of his brother. That's how he got the name of Jacob. He was the heel grabber. But, you know, we see that he came out. He was trying to be the first one out, but he needed to be the second one. But we see that in the course of his life, God changed his name to Yisrael, and he became one of the patriarchs. And you see in Genesis, in his heel, it was actually portrayed or spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. I'm sorry, 15. It says the prophet, a prophecy of the Messiah, was the heel would be bruised, but the Messiah would crush the heel of Satan. And so God's Messiah is coming to crush the name of Satan and remove him totally from where he exists today. You see, Israel, in learning this, had to grapple as they were traveling through the desert and in the try to get to Israel, that they would grapple and they would wrestle with the mitzvahs and the understandings of God's instructions to them, and to be diligently to seek and obey God. You see, we must obey and guard the things that God has given us. Even His judgments, His rules, and His statutes are things that we should revere and obey. And God, you know, He granted the patriarchs a long life and a lot of blessings, because they were the patriarchs. And God took Israel into the wilderness, and He took them that way to show them that they needed to trust and obey God. That was part of the journey that they took. He didn't take them straight to Israel because they needed to learn some things of God, from God, as they journeyed those 40-some years. And so God trained them in the way that they should go, and that's the way we are today. He tells them they will lack nothing. When they go to the land of Israel, you'll see that Israel is still the land. If you check the agriculture totals or things, you'll find that Israel milk cows produce the most milk per cow any place in the world, and Israel is the largest producer of honey in the world. From Israel, that's why God says it's the land of milk and honey. And also in the land of milk and honey, we see the different fruits and spices that God has given: the wheat, the barley, the figs, grapes, pomegranates, olives, and the dates. These are things that God gave to the Israelites that they would eat. That is the symbol of the land of milk and honey. And so we have to trust God. We have to be obedient. And when we study and we find that God, the word Hava means love. And you know, love is three letters. It's the Aleph, Bet, and the Hey. If you look at the Aleph, it means chief or God, and Bet means the house, and Hey means the Spirit of God. But if you put Aleph and Bet together, you get Abba, which is Father. So we can see that God's love, He's a Father that loves us. And we see that when we love Him, God, we are to follow Him, we are to fear Him, we are to serve Him, and most of all, we are to obey Him. And so that is what God's love is about today. And of course, we see today that Jacob was named the heel. That was what his name meant, but God gave him a name that with the land of Israel, He gave him the name of Israel that represents all of the things that God has in the land of Israel and all of the Jewish people. So that's Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Moshed, Livne Bnei Yisrael al Pi Adonai Beyad Moshe.
This is the Torah that Moses placed for
the children of Israel,
the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
It's Shalom. Hashibenu Adonai Elecha ben Hashubah Hadesh Hadesh Yomeinu Hadesh Yomeinu Kekedem.
Wisdom
tree of life to those who hold fast to her,
and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated.
Yes, amen. All right. Somebody open the front door. Where's Isaac?
If someone would just check the front door, please.
We have announcements, and then we'll have our offering. And we're going to go to the Lord's table. So if you're watching and you'd like to join us in going to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord, you can prepare at your house. And if you have some grape juice or Manischewitz or Carmel, Mogen David, whatever you use, if you have some matzah or crackers or bread, feel free to get that ready and join us as we, in a little bit, about 10 minutes, we're going to go to the Lord's table. So I'm going to turn it over to Miss Dawn for announcements, and Isaac's going to prepare for the worship for the Facebook, and God
and
bless you.
If someone would go downstairs, just make sure the door's locked down there, please. Double check it. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Just a few housekeeping items. When you do come,
And we invite you to come. The doors will be open. The downstairs and the upstairs doors will be open until service begins. And then the downstairs door will be locked. And so just FYI, if you come once we get started, you'll need to walk all the way around to the front door. that's for security, obviously. We have to be more and more careful about, watching who's around and what's going on. So I just want to encourage you all, especially in the house, to constantly be aware of our security. We have a small group, and anything can happen. We pray, and God's going to protect us, right? But we also need to be wise. Hallelujah. And along those same lines, we are continuing to comply with the COVID situation here in the house. So please, when you come, remember sometimes we forget. I'm not wearing a mask, but while we're out in the congregation, if we continue to keep our masks on and try to social distance, refrain from giving, the super lovey-dovey hugs that we love to give. So love one another from 6 feet. Amen. And Rabbi will be standing up here. And if you have a question, make sure you stay down towards the pew area so that we have enough distance. He says he doesn't want the fire to smite you. So that's for your safety. anyway, hallelujah. It's great to have more and more people coming. Wendell and Maria are with us today. Not sure where Diane is. We probably need to pray for her. Aja, we've prayed for her already. And we're trickling back into the house of the Lord. I spoke with Sharon. We had a nice long chat yesterday, and she's doing well. So just continue to pray for her. She's lives up on a farm by herself, and of course she loves it like all our ladies. They love their houses, and but it's a big property, so we need to pray for her for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, the fellowship hall is coming along nicely. I actually haven't peeked in there since I've been gone all week, so I don't know what it looks like today. If you'd like to go over there afterwards, we can all look and see. But we are probably 95% there. The carpet is coming soon. I turn Rabbi's headset on.
Test
the carpet two. is we were actually able to save
the carpet
a huge amount of money because the guy who installed the carpet initially, and it was a nice carpet, that brown carpet that's been in there. Have you enjoyed that carpet? It's really nice. So we hated to take it up because it just endured very well. Well, when we took it up, it rolled up nicely, and so we called him back and said, hey, come take a look at this. Can we use it again? And
he said yes, and he's going to cut a strip of the same kind of carpet to match the area that was cut away, and he's going to make it so it fits in the room, and we're going to lay the carpets. It's the most inexpensive way, and then the fellows that have been working down there are going to put trim around. We've already purchased the trim. Guys, it's ready. I had electricians in. We have new, all the electric outlets have been tested by W.A. Reimer Electric, and we have two new outlets. We have a sump pump in there, and we have two new GFI outlets hooked up to the sump pump batteries, and then we have an extra outlet that we put in for Carolyn's crock pot. And she asked me for a crock pot outlet, and so I gave her one. And then she got mad at me because I didn't give her two.
Oh.
but that's okay. Women are always getting mad at me. You know, so
never enough outlets for
a lady in her crock pot
and her kitchen, because they always they always get used up by other things, right? Like cell phone plug-ins, and I come into the kitchen and it's like, where are all my outlets?
But he actually fixed a lot of the outlets were not wired right, and the breakers shouldn't be tripping like they were. He went through every outlet and checked it and fixed a bunch of them. And so the electric should be working much better. What I need to ask of you folks is we need a cleaning party. I need to ask you this maybe this next week to go down and clean before they put the carpet in the next couple weeks. Go down and please, you know, vacuum up the dust, clean the kitchen, and get it ready so that when he puts the carpet in, it's nice and clean, and then we'll be ready to go.
Hallelujah.
Wash out the freezer and the refrigerator and stuff, and everything will be ready to go.
Awesome.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so, and that's great, because guys, and we need to order some more of these. What's coming up on God's event calendar next? Anybody know?
The fall feasts.
The fall feasts. Rosh Hashanah starts September 18th, okay? So there begins the fall feasts, and we're getting the house of the Lord ready for those times that God requests us to be have a meeting with us. Amen? He says, these are the times I want to meet with you in a special way. I'm going to teach you about certain things, prophetic things, things to come. If you want to know what God's plan is for the future, you know what? Come to the meeting. God's got a board meeting, and you're invited to these meetings. Starts September 18th, and I will let you know when the exact times and days, because Rosh Hashanah is 18th and 19th. Yom Kippur is the 27th, I believe that's Sunday night. And then Sukkot begins October 2nd through the 10th. So we'll be letting you know when, what special services and when they will be. And just to let you know about a little bit about my schedule, God's blessed us so immensely during this COVID by allowing me to have just unlimited time off to be with Joe and helping him get through cancer treatment, and to be here with you. So, and to be in worship. And I just love being here in the house of the Lord. And I hate to be online watching. I want to be here in the house of the Lord as much as possible. So, and I encourage you to come too. Being online is one thing, but being in the house of the Lord is different. Yeah. Right, guys? I mean, it's when we come together, there is a power and an anointing and a unity that doesn't happen when we're all sitting in front of our computers. And we can maybe have a Bible study or meetings or things like that. But when we get together, it really dispels the enemy. It gives us great encouragement, and we connect with one another in ways that we cannot through artificial means. So please, if God's calling you to be in this house, then you need to obey Him. You need to come. You need to make the sacrifice.
You miss God. If you don't come, and this is your home,
right?
When you don't come, you miss the Lord.
That's right.
You miss what He has to say to you that day, and you're going to go a whole week without nourishment, or the nourishment He wanted you to have. It's like if you don't eat your vegetables or take your vitamins, and you get a deficiency like in iron or vitamin D, you have a deficiency. Some people, some people have potassium deficiency. If you don't come to the house of the Lord and worship, and you don't watch the message at least on TV, you're going to have a deficiency. And you're going to be missing what God had for you. And in these times, when they're burning Bibles, you don't want to be missing what God has for you.
That is so true, Rabbi. And we need to rededicate ourselves. We really need to rededicate ourselves. If you live even 2 hours away, you can make it here. If God's calling you to be a part of this congregation, 2 hours is not a bad drive to get here. It's doable for one day a week. And so come. This, like I said before, you know, and for those of you who are seeking and asking God, you know, about what's going on here, if God's feeding you in a way you're not being fed before, then, you know, we're walking in the steps of Yeshua. We're walking it out. And there is a prophetic element to our congregation that you will not find anywhere else. And we are connected to Israel. We are connected to the future of the plan for this world. So it's a prophetic congregation. We are here walking out something together in the flesh, and we are obeying the Lord to do that. We're kind of swimming upstream. We're not doing everything that everybody else is doing. So come and support that. If God's talking to you, support it. Help build this little Galilean congregation. Come, and we need more children's ministry workers. We need people on the worship team. We need prayer warriors. We need people to uphold and the rabbi and his job. So that's my little plug. Just want to just exhort that to happen. One other thing I want to mention, and Maria and I talked about this yesterday, was that we need to set a date for Joshua's bar mitzvah. And because of my schedule, I think that September is going to be pretty free. I've got probably one more month, October 1st. And this is a praise report. My company, who is a regional carrier for United, has been selected as the only regional carrier to have the kind of airplane that we have. And so there was a competition between our company and probably about five other companies. We won the competition. Our company did. And instead of laying off 50% of the pilots, now they're going to be hiring. And it's going to be very busy starting October 1st. And also, we need to pray for people to start traveling again, so that our industry can come back to life. And also, God, I believe the enemy is really attacking the airline industry, because God's going to use that, the airplanes, to bring us back to Israel. So there's a fight there for air travel, and it's a global fight is happening right now. It's manifesting, and it's a spiritual battle. So I'm thinking about Joshua's bar mitzvah, and I haven't talked to Rabbi about this, but a good date for me, and I think considering his appointments and everything, would be September 26th. That's a Saturday morning here, and it's the week after Rosh Hashanah. So it's right before Yom Kippur, but it's on a Saturday morning. So we can talk about that more. I have a date, a possible date in October as well. But I think that if we can get it done, and if it's an appropriate thing to do, I know it's during the days of awe, but I think it'll probably work. It'll be at the end of the week, right before Yom Kippur. So I don't know what you guys think about that. Let's talk about it. And then I've got to send out invitations. Speaking of invitations, Rabbi's going to talk about the invitation today. So maybe that's a sign from the Lord. We need to send out invitations. So plan to come to Rosh Hashanah. Plan to come to Joshua's bar mitzvah. It's going to be a wonderful celebration. Amen? Those of you out there.
Go, Josh!
And Joshua's working on a message. He's working on his Hebrew, but he's also going to give a little short message. And he's going to minister to us. Amen. Hallelujah. I think I've covered just about everything, Rabbi. Let's give it to you.
All right. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Folks watching, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings at this time. So I'm going to pray over the tithes and the offerings. And if you're watching online and you'd like to participate, you can donate securely online through PayPal or with a credit card. And if you want to be receipted, please give us your name and address. If you'd like any materials or anything, please tell us what you want. You know, anything you have questions, you got to put it in the notes, okay? But anyway, thank you for giving. We have spent about between $17,000 and $20,000 repairing over there. So we have a lot of we've taken a big hit this summer, but thank God we repaired it. Now we've got a big drain in there inside the fellowship hall, and three sump pumps and a French drain inside the building. So now any water that comes in the walls will go right down into the drain and go right out the building. And so the floor man said he saw no evidence there was water coming through the floors, all coming through the walls. And we even have a French drain right by the front door, so the water can't come in the front door either. And it's guaranteed. Well, whatever our guarantees are these days. But anyway, so we're going to take our tithes and offerings. And if you want to bless a little synagogue in Galilee, out here in the country, like the Roman centurion did in Luke 7, then we invite you to as God blesses you to give back. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to give today. Bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that you bring 100-fold return.
Yes.
Lord, to those who have sown and given today, Lord, in this offering, we pray that you bless them with 100-fold return.
Yes.
And meet their needs exceeding and abundantly above all that they could hope, think, or ask.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, and the King of the Jews. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And now we just are going to take up our offering. We're going to play Blessed Be the Lord and Blessed Be Your Name. And God bless you as you give in Yeshua's name. Amen. By the way, the offering box is in the back there.
Yes.
So the fire doesn't come out from the front here.
Fire of the Lord.
Blessed be your name, a land that is plentiful, your streams of abundance flow.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name
when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness.
Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, but there's pain in the offering.
Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, bless.
blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, you give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Got a call from a friend named Joel Chernoff the other night, and we're going to do a little song by Joel Chernoff way back from the 1980s called You Are My Salvation. Amen. Joel's my friend.
Isn't that neat that we are friends with the worship leaders of Israel?
Amen.
I mean, they are the leaders of the praise in Israel, coming from the heart of Israel. And many of you have met these praise leaders, and they've just really helped us move along, bring forth the vision, the messianic vision. And hallelujah, this is one of my favorites. And it's an oldie but goodie.
Your Son we're worshiping, our praise and offering. You are our salvation. You alone are worthy to be praised. You alone are God. You gave your life for us, a sacrifice of love.
For Diane, because her leg is not feeling well. We need to pray that her leg is healed. So Lord, I just pray for Diane's knee. I just lift it up in the name of Yeshua so she can dance for you again. Hallelujah.
Touch it, Lord.
Hallelujah. Healing right now in the name of Yeshua. You are the mighty King,
Master of everything. All of creation sings, you are our salvation. Glory to you we bring, your Son we're worshiping. Our praise and offering, you are our salvation.
You
alone are worthy to be praised. You alone are God. You gave your life for us, a sacrifice of love. Glory to your name.
When I pray,
Atta Yeshua Te'enu,
you have broken my fears and chased them away.
You are my salvation. You are my salvation.
Oh, you alone are worthy to be praised. You alone are God. You gave your life for us.
Sacrifice of love. Glory to your name.
I'm so grateful that I can sing unto you.
A time.
Yeshua take. I'm so grateful that I can say unto you, you are my salvation. You are my salvation.
Hallelujah.
When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee.
To get it out of his system at some point.
I'm happy.
Yes, happy, happy, happy.
I'm happy because I'm whole. I'm healed. I'm getting healed. I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
I'm
yes.
healed.
Yes.
In the name of Yeshua.
Let's praise how I praise you. Let's praise him. Rabbi says, praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him at night. Praise him when you don't feel good. Praise him in the early times. Praise him in the hard times. Let's praise him for all the things that we should. Even when we don't feel like it. We bring God's power into the situation. God's solution when we enter into praise. So this is not just a show. It is something that we do that helps God interact with our situation. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, how I praise you, Lord.
Your creation, let it ring from
Zion of Judah, Judge of Israel. Now we praise you for your joy, now that never fails.
All right, sing to him. La 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 la.
Thank you. let your fire fall.
We come before you, Father. We offer you our lives. Our hearts are on your altar.
Let your fire fall.
Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. In the house. Hallelujah. If you need healing, if you need healing, if you need straightening out something going wrong in your life, the Lord is in the house. You know, there was a scripture, I think it's in John or Luke, and it says somebody asked him for healing, and it says the power of God was present. The power to heal was present. Yeshua was asked to heal someone, but it says in the Word of God, it says the power of God was present to heal at that moment. Amen? And I believe the power of God is present right here, right now, to heal, to touch, to cleanse, to rededicate, to recommit your life. The power of God is here to fix broken hearts and broken lives, broken marriages and broken finances, whatever it is you're going through, family members, drug addiction, alcoholism, whatever it is, the power of God is present right here, right now, at this time. It's not always here. It's not always present. But Lord, you know our needs. Touch. Touch us. Heal us. Purge us, amen. Help us to get it right, Lord. Help us to follow you. Help us to read your word, Lord. Forgive us for not being in your word enough, for not setting aside, putting you first, Lord. Forgive us for not putting you first. King David prayed 3 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. How many of us pray 3 times a day? Amen? How many of us pray 3 times a day? Thank you, Lord. Forgive us, God. Thank you, Lord. Touch us. Heal us. Restore us. Restore us, Lord. Restore our little synagogue. Restore this congregation. Restore the children. Restore the children's ministry. Restore that fellowship hall. Make it better than new. Thank you, Lord. Help us bring the finances to renew this sanctuary. Put down new carpet. Put in new seating, Lord. Help us, Lord. Send us the finances, Lord, to rebuild our, to repave our driveway, Lord. Bring forth the finances to repave the driveway here, Lord. Remove the potholes and the years that have taken away the pavement, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Meet every need. Thank you, Father. And save the lost, Lord. There's people watching today that don't know you. They don't know that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth,
is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the one that died for your sins. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. And if you will believe that and confess with your mouth that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You know, I always never knew where I was going when I died. As growing up Jewish, I never knew. You know, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, they'd tell us, well, you fast and pray and hope that your name is inscribed in the Book of Life. At the end of the Day of Atonement, after fasting and praying, I got to confess, I never really knew if my name was in the Book of Life. Did I do enough good deeds, Xavier? Did I give enough charity, Joshua? Did I do enough acts of kindness? No. No amount of acts of kindness, no amount of good deeds or charity or anything is gonna save you, because that's not how you get saved, right, Wendell? You get saved by believing in the righteous one. All you have to do, the work of God, is to believe in the one he sent. Amen? And on the night he was betrayed, he took the cup of the Passover meal. We have these little cups here, COVID-19 free cups. And he took the third cup of the Passover meal. We call it the cup of redemption. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Now, if you're Jewish and you're watching, you say, well, what new covenant? Well, Jeremiah, your prophet, said in Jeremiah 31:31, he said, behold, days are coming, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31:31, in case you have a Bible, or you can Google it, and any Bible version you want. Jeremiah 31:31, behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new, everybody say new, a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, and I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no more shall they say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Hallelujah. And it was Yeshua, it was Jesus on Passover, on the Last Supper, which was a Passover meal, and he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant, my blood spilled. He was giving an example. It wasn't the juice, it was his blood. It wasn't the wine, it was his blood. He was saying, this cup represents my blood spilt for you. And this bread inside of it, well, he didn't have a little thing like this, but I got a little piece of bread here. And he said, this bread, this afikomen, and Jewish people know what I'm talking about when I say afikomen. This afikomen is broke, is given for you to take with this third cup in remembrance of me. He said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So I'm going to bless it, and we're going to take it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine and the bread from the earth. And Yeshua was establishing the new covenant, explaining what was going to happen that very day, the following day, which was the same day, really, because the day begins at night. So he was saying to his disciples, this very day, I'm going to give my life. My blood will be shed, and my body will be broken for you. And if you believe that, and you believe and you receive and you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. Amen. And so I'm going to invite you to join me in a prayer of confession. If you like to meet the Messiah right now, if you feel his presence, sense his presence here, and you need his help, you need the power of God to change your life. Do you need the power of God to change your life today? Do you need healing? Do you need help with the finances? People are struggling out there. They're hurting. They don't have jobs. Some of them, the pay thing is ending. The PPP is coming to an end. Some people don't have jobs. They don't have money coming in. They don't have food on their tables. They're worried. They're nervous. They're scared. Not everybody, but a lot of people are. Is that you? Are you one of those people? Do you know someone who's struggling with addiction? You need the power of God. I did. I needed, not addiction, but I needed the power of God to change my life. And so I asked him. I prayed a prayer. I said, "Dear God," pray this with me, "Dear God, I've blown it. I've made mistakes. I have not kept your laws. And your standard is perfection. In order to come in your presence without dying, you have to be sinless. Forgive me, God, for not following your word, for not even reading your word, for not even knowing your word. Cleanse me, and send your son,
Yeshua,
to dwell in my heart. Come into my heart, Yeshua.
Wash me.
Put my name in your book of life.
Forever and ever.
Give me the gift.
Of eternal life.
I want to be in paradise.
With you.
When I die. In Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, you met the Messiah right now, and you're feeling joy in your heart, I want you to contact me. I've got a gift for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you are blessed by this message, you share it with a friend. You hit the share button and say, "You need to listen to this." If you got a friend who's lost, just hit the share button. Tell them, listen to that music and listen to this prayer. And if you don't know how to share the gospel, let me share it for you. Amen. You just hit the share button and on Facebook here. This is on my page. We welcome you, Facebook friends. We love you. It's always a blessing to see my Facebook friends watching. And I can't be there to say hello to you right now, but I can say it from here. And share this with your friends who are lost. Because if you don't know how to share the gospel, let me share it for you. Amen. And this is the gospel, that God sent his son into the world and that he was crucified and took our sins and our sickness upon himself. Then he was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day, and he conquering the power of sin and death. And all you have to do is believe in that Jesus of Nazareth is the King of the Jews, that he died for you. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the gospel. And if you believe that, you will be in paradise. Your body will perish. You'll be worm food, but your spirit will be in it. You'll get a new body, a glorified body, and you'll spend eternity in paradise. Man, what a deal!
That's the best PPP application I can think of.
That's permanent PPP.
That's that's power, provision, and protection.
Power, provision, and paradise. Glory. All right. L'chaim to life. Power, provision, and paradise. We're not talking meatloaf's kind of paradise.
I can't wait to get back to the regular because this thing.
Yeah, we gotta get some bigger cups. Ask them for the large size cups next time.
I really feel like we're wandering in the desert because even the matzah.
Josh, can you grab that chair, please?
Even the matzah tastes like it's been compressed for 4,000 years.
It's compressed matzah. All right, we got a word for you today. I guess a special word. And every word is special, but thank you, young man. This word is this actually is a true story. I'm going to tell you a true story today. Let's begin. I want to read in Matthew. Turn to Matthew 20. I think it's 27, but let me double check. Matthew, I think it's 27. Matthew 23. That's it. I'm sorry. I always get the verses mixed up a little bit there. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 23, verse 37, Yeshua was lamenting over Jerusalem, and he said, and this message is called The Invitation. The name of this message is The Invitation, okay? And it's not a long message, so I'm not going to keep you here long today, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Let it go out to the nations. Let it go out to the people. Open the ears, anoint their ears to hear and their eyes to see truth from your word. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that I get a good report when I go for my biopsy in Florida next week, Lord. I just ask, Lord, thank you that I'm going to get a good report when I get my biopsy next week, that the cancer will be gone. That the cancer will be gone. When they check the level of cancer in my bones, it'll be gone. In the name of Yeshua, I thank you for this word, the invitation, which I just gave you an invitation. Here's another one I'm going to give you, okay? So, Lord, bless this word. Anoint our ears to hear and bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. All right, Matthew 23, verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who killed the prophets and stoned those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate, for I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So this is the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua. He's telling the world that Jerusalem will not see him until Jerusalem says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, does it say, you will not see me again until I come? Does it say that?
No.
No. Thank you. Can I get a no? Can I get a no? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. We got one no. We got one no. No, it doesn't say. He doesn't say, you Jerusalem, you will not see me until I come. Does he say, you will not see me until the Father comes?
No.
No, it doesn't say that, does it? Does it say, Jerusalem, you will not see me until the Holy Spirit comes?
No,
no, it doesn't say that. Does it say, Jerusalem, you will not see me until Bob Dylan comes? No, it doesn't say that. Bob Dylan came, but it doesn't say, you will not see me again until Bob Dylan comes, right? Even though he's a nice Jewish guy. Amen? He's nice. I don't know how, well, he's Jewish, but I don't, you know, he's Bob Dylan, you know? All right, I'm going to stop there, babe. Praise the Lord. It ain't me, babe. Okay, so let's go on here. So who is he who comes in the name of the Lord?
Hallelujah.
No, it doesn't. I said that. We just went through that. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me. Who's me? Who's saying this? Yeshua. You will not see me until you say, blessed is he, somebody else, who comes in the name of the Lord. Who's the name of the Lord? This isn't a trick question. Who's talking?
Yeshua's
talking. And he says, you will not see me, Yeshua, until you say, blessed is he who comes in my name. Until the guy comes, the right guy, in my name. Do you get that? Do you follow me? He's not saying you will not see me until you see me. He's saying I will not come back until somebody comes in my name.
Yes.
And that's where the invitation is. And by the way, if you turn quickly to Zechariah, hold this place in Matthew, turn to Zechariah chapter 14. If you read Zechariah 12 through 14, which we're not going to do today, but it says in Zechariah 14:1, behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured and the houses plundered and the women ravished and half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. And then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. And that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem in the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west, a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will... He's going to grade the whole mountain and build a whole new temple. So that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of the mountains. And so you can read Zechariah 12 through 14 on your own time. I'm not going to read it here. But this is... He's going to come back to save Israel. He, Jesus, Yeshua, comes back to save Israel, not from an air attack, not from nuclear attack or missiles, from an invasion, from Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38, or it's either Gog and Magog or the Battle of Armageddon. One of the two, he comes back to save Israel. Now, I can get into that and tell you which one I believe, but I'll save that for another day. We'll do a teaching on Gog and Magog and Armageddon. But Israel is not, and this is why President Trump has to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons, and this is why he's under such spiritual attack, is because he is the anointed one to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons. President Donald J. Trump is going to, I'm telling you this, I'm prophesying to you, he is going to destroy Iran. You can read Daniel 8. He is the goat of Daniel 8. He's going to destroy the ram, which is Persia. And as the angel Gabriel says, in the very end of days, he's going to destroy Iran's... the horns are broken on the ram, which represents Medo-Persia, or in today, Iran and the area involving Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and in parts of southern Turkey and Assyria, Nineveh, the Kurds, the land of the Kurds. That's what Medea is. And he's going to destroy the power. He's already destroyed the general Salami. Soleimani. Not Salami. He made him... He turned General Soleimani into Salami. That's what he did. He turned him into Salami. But seriously, he's going to destroy the two horns. And a horn of a beast, prophetically, represents their military. A beast, prophetically, its horn represents its military, a nation, its power, its king, its government, and above all, its military strength. So in Daniel 8, when you see the goat from the west, from Greece, not Israel, but from the west, come flying over the whole earth, it's not Alexander, he didn't fly. When you see this goat flying over the whole earth and he attacks Iran and Persia, this is a president. This is from the United States. No other country in the West has the power, the 12-ton bunker buster bombs, or the flight power, or the aircraft carrier power, the submarine power, the air power. President Trump has spoken. He will not put boots on the ground. He has already threatened to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons. Now, could Israel do it? Yes, they could do it with nukes. But I know Israeli officers, they told me themselves, we have the power to turn the Middle East into glass. That means they have the power to destroy. An Israeli colonel told me one time, he said, we have the power to turn the Middle East into glass, the desert. How they make glass out of sand. Yeah. So if you heat sand enough, it turns to glass. Okay? We have enough firepower to turn the Middle East into glass. But they're not going to do nukes because that'll end the world. They don't want to end the world. They just want to destroy Iran's nukes. So we have the ability to do it with conventional weapons, and we have the planes to get there. Israel has trouble flying 1,000 miles and flying back over hostile territory. But the U.S. has bases over there. Do you know Iran is surrounded by American Air Force bases? If you look at an Air Force, if you look it up, the Air Force bases surrounding Iran, there's about a dozen of them in that area, in that region. So anyway, that's another story. But so we have to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons, and I believe it's coming in the next 4 years. Why? Because everybody knows Iran is getting close to having the nuclear weapons, just like Korea.
Amen?
Amen? And they've got to be destroyed because Israel cannot be destroyed with a nuclear weapon. Otherwise, Jesus couldn't come back to save it. Right? If Israel was destroyed by a nuclear weapon, then there could be no attack. As it says here, a day is coming when all nations will surround Jerusalem and attack it. Well, there'll be no Jerusalem if they blew it up, right? And so that would make God's word untrue, right, Wendell? If they blew up the whole nation of Israel and Jesus couldn't come back to save it, then that would make God's word untrue. And if God's word was untrue, that would make God a liar. And we know God's not a liar, right?
Amen.
Amen. So Donald J. Trump is the only president of the United States with the cojones to actually go and attack Iran. Now, not unprovoked, but he'll be provoked. I guarantee you, they'll provoke us. They'll do something stupid, which they've already done. They've attacked us, our embassy. They've killed our with roadside bombs and IEDs. Thousands of our soldiers maimed, killed in Iraq. Iranian army arming the Shiites in Iraq, and the Shiites arming the Syrians, arming the Lebanese Hezbollah. They killed the Marines. The Iranians were behind the Marines. They killed 250 Marines under Ronald Reagan in 1982. We did nothing about it. I'm telling you, it's Donald Trump who's the only one with the gumption to go and destroy Iran's nuclear weapons. There is nobody else. England isn't going to do it. Canada's not going to do it. The only country in the West that has the power and the will and the leader right now is Donald Trump and the United States. And if he doesn't win a second term, and I believe he will because he has a God purpose, Joe Biden isn't going to destroy. This is not a political message, but it's just truth. Joe Biden has helped make the treaty, a peace treaty, to let Iran build nuclear weapons and give them $150 billion and send an airplane full of $1.5 billion in cash so that Iran, and the deal was this: okay, Iran, you can police yourselves. We won't send inspectors to check you out to make sure. We'll take your word that you're stopping your nuclear weapons program because you're going to play goody-two-shoes for us, and we believe you're going to be play nice and make nice. You can't make deals with the devil. You can't make deals with the devil. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. So let's go back. So the Lord's coming back to save Jerusalem. But before he can come back, something has to happen. And go back to Matthew 24. He says, "For I say to you," verse 39, "from now on, Jerusalem, you will not see me, Yeshua, until you say, 'Blessed is he,'" some other guy, "who comes in my name." So there's some chosen guy or people that have to come in the name of Yeshua, and I'm going to tell you the story. I'm going to tell you who it is. I'm going to tell you how that prophecy was fulfilled. It's been fulfilled. Everybody say, "It's been fulfilled." And you don't even know it. I mean, the world doesn't know it, but I know it, and I'm going to tell you the story. Okay, in 2007, or maybe 2006, I was in the fall. I was in Israel. I was in Israel on a tour in the fall of 2006, and I was leading a tour, and we were in Independence Hall. Maybe you could look up Independence Hall, Carol, in Israel, in Tel Aviv, and show a picture. And so think about Independence Hall. Okay, in Philadelphia, there's a place called Independence Hall, and it's where the Declaration of Independence was read. And it's where the leaders of our country, the fathers of our country, got together and declared independence on the 4th of July, on July 4th, 1776. They got together in Philadelphia in Independence Hall, and they declared independence, and that they created the United States of America that day. Everybody say, "That day."
That day.
On July 4th, 1776. They created the United States of America. Hallelujah. Anybody excited about that? Amen. On July 4, 1776. Okay, so on May, I think it was May 15th, or might have been May 14th, 1948, Mayor Dizengoff had, everybody say Mayor Dizengoff. Mayor Dizengoff had a house that was in Tel Aviv. Mayor Dizengoff was the founder of Tel Aviv, and he had turned his house into a museum. Everybody say museum. And he had a great hall. And they decided, the leaders of Israel, that's the building right there. If you can turn the lights out, please, somebody. That's the building on the outside, and that's the inside. Oh, that's a great picture. If you can turn the lights out and show, Josh, show Isaac, show the picture, please, on the Facebook. Can you? So I'm going to show you. So this is Independence Hall in Israel right here. Friends on Facebook and friends watching online, and it's left the way it was. These are the same chairs. The room has been not the room has not been moved. Who's doing that? Please leave it still. The room has not been moved. These are the original chairs where Golda Meir sat. Right here is where David Ben-Gurion declared independence. They had 300 people were invited, 300 guests. These are some of the original chairs right here. Those are some new chairs in the back there. But they've basically left the room the same as it was. This is Theodore Herzl. He's the father of modern Israel. He predicted on the same day, I think it was either, somebody look up Israel Independence Day, what day it is. I think it's May 15th or May 14th, 1948. And he predicted at the Council of Basel, Switzerland, on the 50 days before, exactly 50 days, 50 years. 50 years to the day before, he said, in 50 years there will be a state of Israel. He prophesied, Theodore Herzl, many believe he was a Jewish believer in Jesus, and he was at the Council of Basel, Switzerland, trying to, a bunch of wealthy Jews and influential Zionists from around the world were trying to create a state of Israel. And he spoke and said, in 50 years, there will be a state of Israel. And they made this room. This is Mayor Dizengoff's house here. And this is the great room. And they invited 300 people. Now, if you were to go here, the tour guide would stand right here. And you, your tour group, would sit out in these chairs. And the tour guide, your tour guide, will stand up here. And usually there's a poster. Now, the poster is about, see these paintings? About 3 feet tall. The poster is about 3 feet tall. What you got?
May 14th,
1948. Thank you. So this is just like the America's Independence Hall, except it's Israel's. And on May 14th, 1948, they had sent out private invitations to 300 people, and they said, come, wear a black tie, be there at 3 p.m., and don't tell anybody that we're going to declare a statehood. Don't tell anybody. Has anybody, every boat leaks, right? Every boat leaks. Well, so anyway, I'm sitting out here, and my tour guide's up here the day in 2006, and there's a 3 foot, it's not there right now, and it's not in the picture, but it's okay. There's a picture of the invitation. It's an oversized picture of the original invitation to the 300 people to come to the Declaration of Independence at that hall by the leaders of Israel. Chaim Weizmann was there. What's his name? Oh, Lord, have mercy. David Ben-Gurion was the one who pronounced independence on that day. Okay? Now, my tour guide was standing up here, and an elderly gentleman walked down in front of us, and he was wearing, this elderly gentleman on this day in the fall of 2006, this elderly gentleman was walking down the front of the row in a beautiful suit. He was well-dressed, a very elegant man, about 90 years old. And he reached into his pocket as she was showing us the picture of the invitation, the oversized picture. He reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a piece of paper and he hands it to my tour guide, who was a woman, and she starts screaming, "This is it! This is it! This is it!" And she starts jumping up and down. This was a real invitation. This guy had the real, he was one of the 300 people who was present when Israel, when David Ben-Gurion announced, and Golda Meir, when they declared, and Chaim Weizmann, when they declared statehood on that day on May 14th, 1948, he was one of the ones there, invited in the room that day. He had come back to visit. He had lived his life in London, and his son lived, was a professor in Jerusalem. And they were there when we were there. And I don't know his name. He was just one of the 300 people. He wasn't one of the main guys. But, you know, it's like, you know, Nancy Pelosi is the leader of the Congress, or, you know, Mitch McConnell's the leader of the Senate. But who can name the U.S. Senator from Nebraska? You know, everybody knows Mitch McConnell, but not everybody knows the name of the senator from Nebraska, or the two senators. Amen? You see my point? So anyway, she's jumping up and down with his invitation, which is, 2006, 1948, so it's 58 years old, piece of paper. And he's reaching for it, trying to get it back, and she's jumping up and down, "This is it, this is it." And the Lord spoke to me at that moment and said, he said, "Joe, you're going to get an invitation. Joe, you're going to get an invitation." Okay, turn the lights on. Let's go back to the... Thank you. He said, "You're going to get an invitation." I said, "Me?" I said, "Lord, what?" As usually when the Lord speaks to you, "What?" what are you talking about, Lord? So I said, "Lord said, Joe, I'm going to give you an invitation." A couple weeks later, now this is the fall of 2006, I get an invitation in the mail from the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America saying that we are having a tour of Israel in May of this year. This is of 2007, okay? Now this is the fall of 2006, and the Lord told me I was going to get an invitation. About 3-4 weeks later, I get an invitation from the MJA to come to Israel on a tour with them, on the marking the, I think it was the 14th, again, the 14th or 15th of May is Jerusalem Day. Everybody say Jerusalem Day. It's the day when they mark the reunification of East and West Jerusalem in 1967. It's the day marking the when they took back East Jerusalem from the Jordanians during the Six-Day War in 1967, okay? And so this was the 40th anniversary. Remember, 2007, it's the 40th anniversary. So every 10 years, they have a big parade celebrating Jerusalem Day on the 40th anniversary, on the 50th anniversary, on the 60th. Okay, we're getting towards the 60th anniversary now. This was the 40th anniversary, okay? We're heading for the 60th now. Anyway, so I said, "Lord, is this the invitation?" And I felt in my spirit that it was. I said, "I need to go on this tour. I don't know what, and mind you, I don't know what's going to happen, okay?" So I paid my dues, my fee. I paid the fee to go on the trip to Israel. And I signed up with Joel Chernoff, was leading the Messianic, leader of the Messianic Jewish community, was the largest group of Messianic Jews in the world. Joel Chernoff, leader of the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, was leading the tour. So I called Joel and I said, "What's up with this tour?" He said, "You're never going to believe this. The city of Jerusalem," everybody listen to me good, "the city of Jerusalem has sent us 3 invitations to come, the Messianic Jewish Alliance, have sent us 3 invitations from 3 different councils, kind of like the Sanhedrin, kind of like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin sending, or it was like the mayor, the city council, and the rabbis sent an invitation to the Messianic Jewish Alliance to come to Jerusalem and march in the parade on Reunification Day, celebrating the reunification of East and West Jerusalem on May 14th or 15th, I think it was. I think it was May 15th, 2007, the 40th anniversary of the reunification of East and West Jerusalem. Now, they were having a parade, 10,000 people. There were at least 200,000 people on the sides watching us as we paraded. There were 10,000 people in the parade, many floats and people dressed up as, you know, since it was Shavuot, was the holiday, people were dressed up as wheat. I saw a bunch of girls dressed up as wheat. They were stalks of wheat, and they were cute, you know. They're dressed up as stalks of wheat. People dressed up in all kinds of outfits, and they had tractors because of, you know, harvest. And they were actually what led the parade. First, there were fire engines. Then there were tractors, and the first people were the Messianic Jews. They put us in the front of the parade, and there were 30 of us, and we had a banner that said, "The Messianic Jewish Alliance stands with Israel in proclaiming that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people." And we all had blue t-shirts that said the same thing. And we had a big banner out front that said in big letters that some men held. And the Lord had told me beforehand, he said, "Joe, you watch Joel Chernoff's back." Now, mind you, this was 2007. And right now we're in 2020. So I was a lot younger. I was stronger. I didn't have cancer. And I was more of a force to be reckoned with back then. I was a big guy. And God said to me, "You watch Joel Chernoff's back." So I stood. I could have been like pushy and said, "I want to hold the banner," you know, and moved up to the front. But I stood back about 20 feet behind Joel in the middle of our group. And I had my eyes zeroed in on him. And I was looking off to the left and the right to see if anybody... He was in the front with his daughter and his daughter's friend. And Renan Gissin was marched with us. He was Ariel Sharon's chief of staff. And Renan Gissin marched with us. And they were all in the very front of the banner walking. And I was watching Joel's back like a bodyguard. The Lord just told me, "Watch his back." Do you know I was the only rabbi that signed up for the tour? Of all the 200 rabbis or more in the Messianic Jewish Alliance, I was the only rabbi, you know, which was an honor because I got to do all the blessings, prayers, and I got to actually give devotions along the tour. How cool is that? Just because I showed up. Sometimes you just got to show up. You got to carry the Torah today. You just showed up. Amen? Just because you showed up. Amen? Sometimes you just got to show up. So, there I am, and the day before we marched, I didn't know we were going to lead the parade. Now, if you ever know the story of Esther, Mordecai was hated by Haman. Haman wanted to kill the Jews, plotted to kill the Jews, hated Haman, hated Mordecai, because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman. Haman was the prime minister in the book of Esther in Persia. And so Haman wanted to kill Mordecai. But the king woke up in the middle of the night one night and said, bring me my journals. And they started to read to me what happened on such and such night, day. And there was a plot to kill the king. And this guy, Mordecai the Jew, exposed the plot of the people that were going to kill the king of Persia, Ahasuerus, the one who saved the Jews, and at Queen Esther's husband. And so the king said, king of Persia, Ahasuerus said, "What have we done for this guy, Mordecai? What's been done? This guy saved my life. What's been done?" And the guy, whoever the scribe who was ever reading to the king, said, "Nothing, sir. We've done nothing to this man. Nothing has been done for this man." So he said, "I want this man paraded on my horse, wearing my purple robe." If you need to walk around, walk around. Amen? If you're hurting. So anyway, the king said, "Parade this man through the city on my horse, wearing my purple robe, and put my signet ring on him, and parade him like he's a king around the city. Honor this man." And the king said to Haman, his wicked servant, his prime minister, "What should I do to honor?" I want to honor this great man who saved my life. What should I do? And Haman thought it was him. He said, actually, Haman came up with the idea. Put your robes on him, let him march him around on your horse, and put your signet ring on him, you know, and make him look like he's royalty, and march him around the city. He said, great. Tomorrow at this time, I want you to have a parade and march Mordecai the Jew. And Haman was like, ah! He was pulling his hair out. He was so upset. Amen. And so he had to parade. So the day before the parade that I was in, the Lord told me, you're going to be in a Mordecai parade in Israel. When you go to that parade on that day, on the 15th of Reunification Day, which I believe is the day after Independence Day, when you go and march in the parade, it's going to be a Mordecai parade. What do you mean, Lord? What? So I'm up on the Mount of All. I'm on Mount Scopus. I'm up on Mount Scopus, overlooking the city of Jerusalem. There's an overlook up on Mount Scopus above the old city of Jerusalem. Anybody been there looking at the Eastern Gate? Amen. Up on that viewpoint up there, and the Arabs are up there selling postcards, and they're some are selling, some are taking, and wallets, and some of them have one guy is usually a guy with a camel, and you can ride the camel for a few bucks. Another guy has a donkey, and the Lord says to me, I'm up there the day before the parade, and the Lord says to me, Joe, get on the donkey. I said, I don't want to get on the donkey, Lord. And the Lord says, I don't care what you want. Get on the donkey. Ride it. I said, Lord, I really don't want to ride the donkey. Do I have to get on the donkey? The Lord says, Joe, get on the donkey. Okay, Lord, I'll get on the donkey. So I gave the man a few bucks, and I got on the donkey, and he starts riding me around. Now, mind you, I'm on the top of the hill where Yeshua, when he entered Jerusalem on a donkey, It's the actual road. It's a very steep, windy road. It's still there. It's paved now, but in the time of Yeshua, it was just a dirt road. It was the road that Yeshua came into the city on. Okay? It's very steep. It goes down a big steep hill up to the Eastern Gate, where Yeshua would have entered the Eastern Gate. And so on a donkey, but so I'm riding this donkey. Now I don't go down the hill. I'm just riding around at the top, and the Lord says to me, "Tomorrow I'm going to do something incredible. I'm going to do something amazing. Just watch and see what I do." And so the next day we got there, and we didn't know we were going to lead the parade. We didn't know. We got down to Jerusalem. We gathered with thousands of people. I mean, 10,000 people in a parade. That's a lot of people. You know, maybe 15,000. I don't know. I think somebody gave me a number of 10,000. It was a huge, and we gathered in spots because each group that was in the parade had to line up, you know. So we gathered at a certain place. We met our group. We got our banner out, and then our tour guide was a very influential guy. He knew the chief of police of Jerusalem. Talked to him, and they put us in the front of the parade. We didn't know we were going to lead the parade. We're Messianic Jews, guys. They don't like us in Jerusalem. Most people don't like Messianic Jews. Most of the Israeli, generally, the religious in Israel don't like us. And the last thing, kind of like Haman, they wouldn't want us to lead a parade. Amen? And I thought, you know, well, maybe if they put us in the front, they can shoot us. So anyway, we're leading the parade. Now, the Lord spoke to me. And this is what he said. Listen to me closely here. And we're going to read this thing in Matthew 24, 37. I'm sorry, Matthew 23, 39. I'll just start in 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I've wanted to gather your children together. This is Yeshua. The way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Remember last week I taught about the wing, Kanaf, the mountain of the Lord, called Kanaf. I told you about that last week in its message. You can watch it online. And you are unwilling, Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is Yeshua saying, you will not see me, Jesus, until you say, blessed is that guy, he who comes in my name. So the Lord said to me, get this, guys, now listen up. The Lord says to me, Joe, did they ever invite Peter to Jerusalem officially? You've been invited, you and the Messianic Jewish Alliance and Joel Chernoff have been invited officially, legally, by the government, by the council, by the mayor, by the religious leaders to march in this parade. You are legally invited by the city of Jerusalem to come in the name of your Lord. They know you're messianic. You have been invited legally to come. Did they ever invite Peter, Joe, to come? Did the Sanhedrin? Did the priests? Did the Pharisees? Did they ever invite John? No, Lord. Did they ever invite Paul? No, Lord. They never invited Paul. He said, did they ever invite me to come? Did they ever invite me to come officially and preside over a feast as me as the king of the Jews? Did they ever invite me to sit on my throne in the temple, sit on the throne and lead and preside over Sukkot, over Shavuot, over Yom Kippur? Did they ever ask me to do it? No, Lord. No, no, sir. But they're inviting you, Joe, in my name. They're inviting Joel Chernoff, Joe, and everybody who accepted the invitation. Everybody who accepted the invitation, Jew and Gentile. We were a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, but remember, the invitation came to the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. It did not go to a denominational church. The invitation didn't go. Salvation is of the Jews. God still uses the Jewish people for prophetic purposes that many people in the church are not aware of. Okay? And so the Lord said to me, Joe, you have been legally invited by the city of Jerusalem. He said to me, showed me this scripture, and he said, blessed is he, Jobel, who comes in the name of the Lord. The scripture is thus fulfilled. Blessed is he, Joel Chernoff, who comes in the name of the Lord, has been invited to Jerusalem in my name. Blessed is he, Eric Thebner, who's Jewish, who's been invited in the name of the Lord. My friend Carol Smith was on the trip, a non-Jewish person. Blessed are you, Carol Smith, who's been invited in my name to come in the name of the Lord. Amen. We fulfill, he says, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your sight. I just obeyed God. All I did, I went to Jerusalem the fall before, I went to Independence Hall, saw the invitation, the oversized invitation, they show every tour. And then this guy comes with the real thing, with the real invitation. And my tour guide starts jumping up and down. This is it, this is it. And I'm like, and then the Lord speaks to me while she's screaming, Joe, you're going to get an invitation. I said, okay, Lord, sounds good, whatever. I like invitations, you know, I like parties, you know. So you're going to get an invitation. So I got an invitation to go to Israel again. And this time for Jerusalem's reunification day celebration. It was a 10-day tour. We didn't just do that. We toured. We did other things. That's actually where I connected Joel Chernoff and helped him make connections that would lead the Joseph Project into becoming the largest humanitarian aid ministry in the world. That's where I helped him make that connection, was in that trip in a coffee shop where we talked and discussed our plan, how to achieve that purpose and we did achieve it. It was not my plan, it was God's plan. And that was another, God was doing other things on that trip. But that was, this was an amazing thing. So I just obeyed, I answered the invitation, I marched in the parade. We were legally invited to Jerusalem by the leadership of the city of Jerusalem in the name of our Lord. They knew we were believers in Yeshua, in Jesus. And legally, we fulfilled. We were invited. Blessed is he who, until Jerusalem says, who has to say it? For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me again until you say, who's he talking to? Verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to me. How I've longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you are not willing. Under her wings, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, Jerusalem, from now on, you will not see me until you, Jerusalem, say, blessed is he, this guy, whoever, Joe Bell, Joel Chernoff, Eric Thebner, whatever, come, he who comes in the name of the Lord. We were invited officially, legally, to fulfill that scripture. And it was simply by showing up, by being obedient in the fullness of time. Did the disciples do anything special to deserve to be with the Lord at his supper? Did they were fishermen. He just picked them. Did they do anything special? Were they sinners? How many times did Peter say, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man? They were regular guys that God picked. They weren't anything special apart from him, without his power. And neither am I. And neither is Joel Chernoff, and neither is Eric Thebner, or anybody else who was there and part of that trip. There were other guys too. I can't think who. Jeff Foreman was with us that day. But, you know, we weren't nothing special about us except we were in the right place at the right time, following, we were in the will of God, in the plan of God, on the day of God's timing to fulfill this prophecy. I happened to be there. Not only that, I was the only rabbi in the group. So spiritually, I had the authority to represent the Messianic community spiritually. You see? Is that cool? And God, I believe, I believe with all my heart that prophecy was fulfilled on that day back in 2007. I've never told this story except to a few people. I've never written about it. It's called the invitation. I call it the invitation, and so that's my message for today. And I gave you an invitation before, and God will do wonderful things for you, mighty things. He'll use you if you make yourself available to the Lord. All you have to do is show up. You have to be in the right place, and the place to be on Saturday is in synagogue on Shabbat, and God can do miraculous things with you, whether it's today or tomorrow or next week or 2 weeks or 10 weeks. Because you showed up today, God can bless you 2 months from now because you are here today. Never miss an opportunity. Every Shabbat is an invitation from the Lord. Shabbat service is an invitation from the Lord to come and be blessed. Now, did my life change? Did I become big like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Did I start developing muscles after that? Did I become famous like Kanye West or Kim Kardashian? Did I become a professional football player? No, none of that stuff happened. Did I get a TV show out of the deal? No. Does anybody know besides you guys and the people watching today that we fulfilled a prophecy? No. But we fulfilled a prophecy. Does God know? Yes. Yeah. Did the angels know? Yes. Is it written? I'm not saying this to boast, but is it written down somewhere in heaven, in the books? Yes. I believe it is. All because one rabbi and 29 other people answered the invitation. Now, earlier, there's one other invitation I gave, and that was to meet the Messiah. And again, I'm going to say it again. If you didn't accept that invitation, I'm going to give it again. The Bible says, if you'd like to meet the Messiah, it says that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Son of God, that He died for your sins and mine, that He was buried 3 days and three nights, and He rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. And He said, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, you will be saved. What is saved? Well, He said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. What is saved? He says, whoever leaves his home and his farm or his wife and his kids or his sister, his brother, his father, his mother, for my sake or the sake of the gospel, shall receive 100-fold in this life, brothers, sisters, lands, farms, homes, property, all kinds of stuff, and eternal life in the age to come, along with many persecutions. That's what you'll get, and eternal life in the age to come. God promises these things to those who leave behind the world to follow Him. I tell you truly, if you would like to meet the Messiah, just pray with me now. Dear God, just pray this prayer. Pray right now. Dear God, I've blown it. I've made many mistakes. I have not kept your laws. Please forgive me because I failed. I don't read your book. I don't know your word. I don't pray enough. I've messed up. Please forgive me, God. Wash me with the blood of Yeshua. Come into my heart, Yeshua, and take control of my life. Dwell in my heart. Take control, Holy Spirit. Come into my life. I invite you into my heart. Wash me and take control of my life because I can't make it work myself. And put my name in your book of life in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, God. Amen. And that's my second invitation to you. That's my invitation to you and God's invitation to you who are watching on live stream or on Facebook and here in this room. Do you know the Messiah today? I hope you do. Thank you for listening and watching. God bless you. I'm going to give the Aaronic benediction. Please rise. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. God bless you. Come visit us. Come and worship with us. We love you. Shalom.